Today Shir's Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Chof Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, the Gemara had brought up two subjects. One was the subject of Gram Kibui. Is somebody allowed to cause something to get extinguished on Shabbos? The Rabbanan were lenient. Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah was Machmer. And then the Gemara had brought up the subject of Gram Kibui, Gram Mechikas Hashem, causing the erasure of the name of Hashem, where there we find that the Rabbanan are more lenient, and there we find Rabbi Yossi is more lenient, and the Rabbanan are more machmer. So the Gemara suggested the reason Rabbi Yossi was more lenient when it came to Gram Mechikas Hashem, because the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'vadatem Hashmom, so the Gemara, as we concluded yesterday, she taught us, doing something is asur, grama shari, but grama is mutter. So begins the Gemara today. Yehachi, if that's the way we're going to learn, hachinami ksiv, when it comes to Melech Shabbos, doesn't the Torah say, loy sasa ka melacham? And from there, we shall learn that asiyu da'asar grama shari, and therefore even gram kibui should be mutter according to Rabbi Yossi. Answers the Gemara that technically on Shabbos, Rabbi Yossi of course agrees that an asiyu is also a grama is mutter. The reason Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah was machmer that with a gram kibui is for a new consideration. Because a person is frantic when it comes to his money, Isharsley, if we're going to allow him to do anything, we need to be concerned also le kibuye. He may come to extinguish the fire altogether. So ask the Gemara, Yochi, if there is such a consideration, kash the Rabbanan Rabbanan. So now we're going to have the another question. Ma hosam, if by gram kibuy, where we have the consideration that our Gemara just taught us of Odnam Baal Amamoinai. Still we're learning, Shari, the Rabbanan, were made by Gram Kibui. So Hocha, by Mechikas Hashem, where there is no consideration of Gram Kibui, Loikoshke of Baal Amamoinai, Loikoshke, certainly the Rabbanan should be lenient, yet we find when it comes to Mechikas Hashem, the Rabbanan are very machmer. And as the Rishonim point out, Tosfos and the Ritva, Tosfos the very Maskil E and the Ritva, the Gemara's question is really a question on the Rabbanan without this. There's a steer in the Rabbanan. Here we find that the Rabbanan in our Mishnah by Gram Kibui are lenient, and by Gram Mechikas Hashem we find that they're machmer. But the question is, why the Gemara now is just strengthening the question after adding this factor, says the Gemara, V'tizbra. So we say that the reason that Rabbanan required that a gemi be put around the Shem Hashem is because we're worried about Gram Kibui. Ask the Gemara, that can't be. Because high gemi, this gemi that's being put on top of the Shem Hashem that's on the person's body, hechidomi, exactly what is the situation? Idemahedik, if it's on tightly, so we have a new concern. We're referring to a situation where the person is going to the mikvah. And then if the gemi is put on his body in a tight fashion, it's going to be a chatzitza. And if it's not being put on tightly, so what have you accomplished? The water will come in anyway. Says the Gemara, chatzitza, typically, ask the Gemara, if you're saying now that the consideration is chatzitza, so then we should have a new concern. The diyoi, the Shem Hashem, is written on this person's body, and he's going to the mikveh. So ask the Gemara, that individual who's going to the mikveh when he has ink on his body, that ink on the body is the chatzitza itself. So what are we focused on the gemi? Says the Gemara, that isn't the chatzitza. Because the ink that's on the person's body, balacha, is moist link, And the Tanya, the Brisa, teaches us Adam, blood, Vadioi, ink, Dvash, honey, chol of milk, Yveshim, when they're dried on to the person's body, Chotzin, then they are a Chatzitza, Lachim, but when they're moist, Ein a Chatzitza. So if the Gemi is not tight, it's not a Chatzitza, and the Gemi is not a Chatzitza, and the Dioi is not a Chatzitza. But again, if that's the point, ask the Gemara, Milkom Makom Kasha. If that is, why did Chazal require us to put on this Gemi? Again, if the time is to protect us from Mechikas Hashem, why did they require that if Gram is Mutter? Elam Rav Rav Shela. There's a different reason why the Rabbanan required the Gemi to put on. The Rabbanan's opinion is that Gram is Mutter. And that's why in our Mishnah they taught us that Gram Kibui is Mutter. And the same thing would be by Gram Mechikas Hashem. But says the Gemara, there's a new reason why Chazal required this person who has the Shem Hashem on his body to put on the Gemi. Hainatam Elam Rabbi Rav Shela, Hainatam the Rabbanan, the Kasavri also lamed b'fnei Hashem Orem. Somebody's not allowed to stand in front of the Shem Hashem not wearing any clothing. And if he's going to the mikvah, obviously he's not going to be wearing any clothing. And we don't want him exposed that way in front of the Shem Hashem. Ask the Gemara, so Rabbi Yossi, who doesn't require that a Gemi be put on the Shem Hashem. Bechlal, does that mean that Rabbi Yossi's good opinion is going to be that Rabbi Yossi saw the Shemuta Lame B'fnei Hashem Aram? Is that his opinion? Answers the Gemara, the Manach Yodei Alayu. Rabbi Yossi says, to avoid that problem, I don't have to put on a Gemi. I could just put my hand over where the Shem Hashem is written. So the Trumas Hadeshin makes a very important point. Trumas Hadeshin says that the halacha is that if somebody is not wearing a yarmulke, he cannot just put his hand on top of his head. Here we're saying that you could use your hand to cover the Shem Hashem. Why is there such a difference? So Trumas Hadeshin explains. Here, he has to cover the Shem Hashem. The Shem Hashem is really not part of this individual's body. So just by putting your hand on top of the Shem Hashem, it's considered as if you covered it. However, if, for example, as we said, somebody is not wearing a yarmulke and he has to cover his head, one part of the body cannot serve as a cover for another part of the body. So ask the Gemara, if we have this approach that we could just cover the Shem Hashem with your hand, so ask the Gemara, Rabbanan Nami, the Menach Yodelayu. So why don't the Rabbanan also agree that that's the way we could cover the Shem Hashem? Answers the Gemara, Zimnun the Mishtil Vishakali. There's a new concern that he may forget to cover Shem Hashem when he goes to the mikvah. So that's why the Rabbanan said, put on a Gemi to make sure that the Shem Hashem is covered. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Nami. So that's the concern. Why doesn't Rabbi Yossi as well have that concern that Zimnan the Mishtal of Koshokale, he may be left without the Shem Hashem, with the Shem Hashem exposed. He may forget to cover it. And as Ritva explains, even though just because the Rabbanan make Gzeira doesn't mean that Rabbi Yossi has to make the same Gzeira, but says Ritva, this is a Gzeira that makes a lot of sense. And therefore, why didn't Rabbi Yossi agree? Says the Gemara, correct. Ela idik a Gemi, if there is a Gemi available, hachi nami, everybody agrees that that's what should be done to cover up the Shem Hashem. Hoch v'mayiskinen, what is the situation that we are discussing here? La duria Gemi, where there is no Gemi readily available. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan of the opinion, tefillah b'zman alav mitzvahi. The Torah didn't require that just because somebody has to go to the mikvah, that if he can't go to the mikvah at that time, he could go when he can. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds tefillah b'zman mitzvah. You're obligated to go to the mikvah and whenever you can. And therefore, if this person who has to go to the mikvah, and now was the time for that individual to go to the mikvah, we don't tell him to start looking, loy madrinan, we don't start telling him to look for the Gemi. And as the Gemara Masechta Yuma explains, The pasuk says, "V'haya lifnais eretz yirchetz b'mayim," and Rabbi Yossi holds that when the time to go to the mikveh comes, yirchetz b'mayim, you should go to the mikveh. Rabbi Yossi, and that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. The Rabbanan say that the pasuk is just telling us that it makes sense to go to the mikveh at the right time, but not that it's absolutely a mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That v'sav Rabbi Yossi tefillah b'zman a mitzvah? The Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that when one has the time to go to the mikveh, he should go at the proper time. V'tanya, the Braisa teaches us, hazov v'hazova, v'metzayr mitzras, boil nida v'tami meis, all of these people who have to go to the mikveh, and it turns out that the day of being able to go to the mikveh falls on Yom Kippur, tefillosim b'yoyim. The latter go to the mikveh, Yom Kippur, by day. Neither the Yeledis, or neither who has to go to the mikveh, or Yeledis that has to go to the mikveh, tefillosa b'layla. They always go to the mikveh at night, and we're learning that they should go to the mikveh at night. Baal keri, a person who's a baal keri, toivah v'haylech kol hayom kulay, could go to the mikveh the entire day. Whenever he sees keri, that's when the halach is, the Gemara Masech, the Brachas, the Afchabeis, taught us that Abal Keri goes to the mikveh, so he should go to the mikveh any time. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi on the other hand says that if somebody saw keri on Yom Kippur min a mincha l'mala after the mincha, ain't tzarech litpo. There's no reason for him to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur. He can wait for Matz Yom Kippur and then go to the mikveh. He has to daven Maariv. He'll daven Maariv after going to the mikveh. Because obviously, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that we're not obligated to go to the mikveh as soon as one needs to go to the mikveh. So we see that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that you don't have to go to the mikveh right away. So how he's saying that Rabbi Yossi holds in our Gemara, the tefillah b'zman a mitzvah. He says the Gemara, the Rabbi Yossi that's being quoted there is not the same Rabbi Yossi as our sugya. That Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. That's going according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara in Masech Nida Daf Chav Tes has a very serious discussion. We know that a woman who's a Nida or a Zava has to go to the mikveh. We know that a woman who's a Yeledis has to go to the mikveh. We also know that a woman midaraisa, after she has a boy, is tamei for 17 days. After she has a girl, she's tamei for 14 days. And after that, 7 days by a boy, or 14 days by a girl, she goes to the mikveh. And there was a woman that came and wasn't quite sure what was her status. And because she had all of these questions regarding her status, the question is, how many times does she go to the mikveh? And we learned in the Gemara there that Beis Hillel says she goes to the mikveh 35 times. Beis Shammai said she has to go to the mikveh 95 times. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said that since all of these immersions that she's doing will not really be completely effective until we could be sure that she's tahor, she should go only once when she knows that she's completely tahor. Why do Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai disagree? Because Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai obviously are of the opinion that tefillah b'zman a mitzvah. So when the time for her to go to the mikveh comes, even though it's not completely effective, she should go to the mikveh. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, if the going to the mikveh will not be completely effective, there's no point in going to the mikveh. So now, everything is understandable. Rabbi Yossi in our sugya holds tefillah b'zman a mitzvah. When the time to go to the mikveh comes, you should go to the mikveh. And therefore, don't start looking for gemi. Go to the mikveh in the proper time. Whereas the Rabbi Yossi that's quoted over there is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that that doesn't hold that way. The halach b'zman hazeh is that if somebody has to go to the mikveh, and it comes out on Yom Kippur, the halacha is that they don't go to the mikveh. Because, and the Pesukim can give many explanations. One explanation is that Bizman Hazeh, women, people are tamei meis anyway. In those times, when somebody went to the mikveh, the mikveh made them completely tahor. Bizman Hazeh, people, even after they go to the mikveh, still have a tumas meis. And since they have tumas meis, then we don't allow them to go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur. Another pshat why Balkeri doesn't go to the mikveh, because as we learned in the Gemara and Masechta Brachos, that Chazal were mevatel the requirement for Balkeri to be able to learn or daven with going to the mikveh. So only in a world where Balkeri can't daven or learn is there a rule that they have to go to the mikveh so they could continue davening and learning. But Bizman Hazeh, where that rule doesn't apply, the halacha is they need not go to the mikveh. Teaches us they cannot go to the mikveh on Yom Kippur, and the same is on Tisha B'Av. Teaches us the Mishnah, Nachri Shebal Chabas, if a Nachri comes to extinguish a fire that broke out in a Jew's home on Shabbos, Ein Oymer Lo Kabei, V'Al Techaba. We don't tell him, do so, and we don't tell him, don't sue. Do so. We're not responsible for the Akum doing or not doing Malacha on Shabbos. So therefore we don't tell him anything. Aval Shekot Shabbat L'Chabos. If there's a child, a Jewish child, that wants to come to extinguish a fire on Shabbos, Ein Shomrim Loy, we don't allow him to do so, because here it's already different. We have responsibility that to not allow a Jewish child to be Michal Shabbos. And we'll speak about this halacha soon more. Amar Abami, B'dileika Hetira Loimer, if there was Chas V'Shalom a fire on Shabbos, the halacha is, we're allowed to tell him, call him Mechaba Eina Mafsid. We're allowed to say to the Akum that if you'll extinguish the fire, you won't have any loss. I'll pay you after Shabbos. However, explained the Rishonim, this is only in a situation of a fire. Because as we had previously in our perek, Chazal were concerned that if I won't allow the Akum to do at least that much, we may come to Chas V'Shalom extinguish the fire ourselves. But anything in another situation, we have to be stricter and not allow an Akum. We're not even say that to an Akum. Name him Sile. And the Gemara wants to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says, Nochu Shebol L'Chabos, if an Akum comes to extinguish a fire, Ein Oymer Lo Kabei V'Al Techaba, we don't tell him extinguish it, we don't tell him don't extinguish it. Neshe Shvein Osam Aleim. So what do we learn from our Mishnah? Kabei, to expressly tell him, please extinguish the fire, Hu Deloy Amrin Alei, may not be said to the Akum. Ha, if you just say, call him a chaba in a mafsid, aminolei, that we may say to him. Ask the Gemara, but let's learn the safe of our Mishnah. Aim a safer. What did it say in the Mishnah? Al techaba loy aminolei. We don't tell him, don't extinguish it. But on the other hand, call him a chaba in a mafsid, making that much of a statement, it seems, nami loy aminolei, we may not say to him either. Ella, says the Gemara Mechal Lekel Mishnah Menam. And the way many Rishonim Rashi and other Rishonim explain is as follows. One, the Mishnah has two statements that the Diyuk of those two statements are contradictory. So when we have two statements in the Mishnah that are contradictory, the halacha is, one is correct and one is incorrect. Why were they said that way? Because the Mishnah, and we say this often, we're learned bal peh. So they learned the Mishnayos in a way that it should be easy to remember them by heart. So they used wording that was easy to remember. So one of them is correct and one of them is incorrect, but we don't know which is which. And therefore, from our Mishnah, we can't have a raya. But the Gra uses this Mishnah to teach us a very, very important halacha. And that is, here we're saying that, as I said at the beginning, it's only up to, only in a situation of a fire. And even in a situation of a fire, We're only allowed to say something very unclear to the Akum. But to expressly ask the Akum to extinguish a fire is certainly usur. Says the Gra, from here we see that even in a situation of a Durabonon, because asking an Akum to extinguish a fire is only an Issa Durabonon, a person is supposed to be ready to give up all of his money to not be over even an Avera Durabonon. The klal of Havavazbis, Ayavazbis Yosef Mechaymish, that if somebody's going to spend money, he need not spend more than 20%, is only by a mitzvah saseh. A person's not obligated to spend money on esrig more than a chaymish. However, when it comes to an aveira, the halacha is that you're supposed to give up all of your money not to be over an aveira. And I saw the Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal in the Kovitz Chuvis, Chel Gimel, Simon Chavzayin explains, the Torah says, V'chai behem. And we learned, the Gemara Masech, the Yuma teaches us, V'chai behem, V'loi Shiyomus behem, that a person is supposed to not give up his life. So what is the Torah teaching us with that limud? The Torah is teaching us that your life, you're not obligated to give up only by the Gimel Averis Chamuris. By everything else, however, a person is obligated to give up everything rather than be over an Avera. And that's our Gemara. You're supposed to be ready to give up all your money rather than to be over the Avera of Chil Shabbos the Rabbanu. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanu Masav Nafla Deleika B'chatzera Shal Yosef Ben Simoi B'shchin. B'shichin. There was a fire in the courtyard of Yosef ben Simoi in Sichin. A bunch of Gistro Shal Tzipor L'Chabbos. The firemen came to extinguish it. He was a distinguished individual in the king's government. And Rabbi Yossi did not allow them to do so because of Kavod Shabbos. And as the Masha points out, the Gemara doesn't say Bnei Issa Shabbos. The Gemara says Bnei Kavod Shabbos. Because technically, there was no Isser being involved here. The Akum came on their own. But what the issue here was Kavod Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi wanted to show that because of Kavod Shabbos, he didn't want to let these people extinguish the fire, that they shouldn't come, the people shouldn't come to accuse him, the Chas V'Shalom, he was being Mechabel Shabbos. Menasloi Nes, but a tremendous Nes happened. The Yorod G'sham V'Kibu, rain came and extinguished the fire. Le'erev Motzei Shabbos, Shiger, Rabbi Yosef Ben Simoi sent L'Kolech Behem, to each one of the firefighters, Shtei Sloim, L'Pachash Behem, and to the captain, he sent 50 sloim. Shom Chomidover, and when Chacham heard the story, Amru, Loyoy Tzarech L'kach, he didn't necessarily have to stop them from extinguishing the fire. Sheshaninu, for as we have learned in our Mishnah, Nachri Shabal L'chabois, Ein Amru L'kabay V'al T'chaba, we could let them do whatever they want, we don't have to stop them. But we did learn in our Mishnah, Aval Katan Shabal L'chabois, if a cotton comes to extinguish the fire, ain't shemeloi. We don't listen to him. We are responsible for our children not to be mechal Shabbos. Shmamina. So ask the Gemara, isn't this a raya that our Mishnah holds, that cotton oichel nevels, if a cotton is eating something non-kosher, Bezdin metzuvan lafrishoi. Bezdin has to stop them, which is difficult, because there's a Gemara that says that cotton in Achin Avelis, that the cotton is doing an Isser that I didn't tell him to do, the halacha is that we don't have to stop him. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah is talking about a situation, but cotton Oisla Das Aviv. He's doing it because he knows his father wants him to do that. And that's, and therefore it's considered like, this is the way Rashi explains, that it's considered like the father told him to do it. We may not have to stop him from doing the Avera, but we can't tell him to do it. The fact the father's standing there, it's considered like the father told him to do the Avera.
The Sharetzin goes on to say that not only if the father is standing there, is it considered as if the father told him to do it, but when it comes to Shabbos, there's a new din. There's a din of the Torah says, Loisasa kamalocha atu bincha. So a father has a special obligation to make sure his son is not mechal Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, so the Kavah saw that by the Akum, the Gabbah Nachri, the Kavah Adat Yisrael, if the Akum is doing it with the Yisrael, telling him Mishari, answers the Gemara, the Akum who extinguishes the fire is not doing it because of the Yisrael. Nachri, Ladata, the Nafshi Avid. You can't compare the Nachri to the child, because the Nachri knows that he's going to get paid after Shabbos for extinguishing the fire. The child, therefore, that's what his consideration is for doing it. The child is doing it because his father wants him to do it, and therefore it's very different. So what we learn from here is that it could be that katan oichel veilus ain't bezdin mitzumel afrisha, but Amish is talking in a case where the father standing near the fire, and the child understands that the father wants them to do so. Now, there's a machloikis rishonim how to understand our Gemara. Some rishonim say that Torah says loisachilim, that even though an adult is not obligated to stop a child from doing an aveira, an adult may not help or allow cause that a child should do an aveira. So here too, if the father's standing there, it's like he's telling his son to be mechal Shabbos. But the Rashba says that this, the pshat in our Gemara, is not based on lois achilim. It's based on the lav of lois sasa kamalocha ato vincha. There's a special halacha on Shabbos that a father has to make sure that all the members of his family, his children, should not be mechal Shabbos. It's also important to point out that before we go further, that Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil Shmamina says that our Gemara is referring to a young child who's below the age of chinuch. But once we have a child who reached the age of igil chinuch, that he's old enough to understand and properly perform mitzvahs, then there's no discussion that we have to, of course, stop him from doing an any aveira. So now we've learned there are two approaches in the Rishonim how to understand this Isser for a father to allow his child to extinguish the fire. Is it because of Lois Achilam, or is it because the mitzvah of Loisas Kamalocha Ato of Vincha? So the question is, what's the difference? So one is that by Shabbos, there's a din of Malachas Machsheves. So it could be that if the child, as we just explained, is so young, there's no Malachas Machsheves in such a child. But Lois Achilim does apply. On the other hand, by the Chiyazah says, the Lois Achilim, as the words imply, is only when you're actually giving him something not kosher. Could be for the lav of Lois Achilim, just standing on the side and showing the child that that's what you want, would not be considered lois achilim. Whereas by Shabbos, where the Torah says loisas kamalocha ato vincha, the Torah is stricter. Rav Chaim Briska takes a different approach. He says, if the issa would only be lois achilim, says Rav Chaim Briska, then it would be, he won't be considered a mechal Shabbos if he allowed his child to be mechal Shabbos. But if it's because of loisas kamalocha ato vincha, then it's a whole different approach. Then this person who allowed his child to be mechal Shabbos is considered as if he was a mechal Shabbos. So then I saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein has a very interesting discussion. How do we understand this lav of loisas kamalocha ato vincha? Doesn't mean that a parent has an obligation to make sure that his child is Shomer Shabbos, or doesn't mean that the parent Shmira Shabbos included in your Shmira Shabbos is not just your Shmira Shabbos, but also the Shmira Shabbos of your children. Where is there a nafkamina? So the Chashukei Chemet discusses the following shaila. He says there's a mother who was makabel Shabbos. She lit the Shabbos candles. She lit them well before the Zman. And now the question is, can she ask her child, her daughter, who didn't light Shabbos candles, and as we just explained, it's not yet the Zman, could she ask that child to do melacha? If we say that loisas kamelacha is an extension, that part of your Shmir Shabbos is also your child's Shmir Shabbos, is included in your Shmir Shabbos. So if you can't do melacha anymore, then your child can't do melacha anymore. If it just means that you have to make sure that your child is Shmir Shabbos, it's not yet this man. And therefore, the halacha is that she could still do melacha. So he suggests that based on the word from Reb Chaim that we just saw, that Reb Chaim said that somebody who allows his child to be Mechal Shabbos is as if he was Mechal Shabbos. That's what the Torah comes to teach us. Well, I saw so come Melacha ato vincha. So we see that your child Shmir Shabbos is an extension of your Shmir Shabbos. So if it's a time that you already Mechal Shabbos, you can't ask your child to be Mechal Shabbos anymore. Teaches us the Mishnah. Koifin ka'ar al gabaner. We could put a bowl over a lamp with a fire. B'fil shloi tachs b'kayir. If you're concerned that the fire will jump up and burn the beam. And Rashi says that we're talking about a karish shocheris. We're talking about an earthenware dish. Because Rashi is concerned that if it's a metal dish, then that metal dish, by being exposed to the fire, may cause that will be havara if you cause that metal dish to get stronger because of the fire. However, I did see that the Ktzayis HaShulchan says that that was only in the dishes, the metal dishes that they had in those days, that if they were put over a fire, they would get red hot and turn into a coal. The dishes that we have nowadays, that won't happen to in a metal pot or a metal dish. And therefore, Bezman HaZeh, you could even put a metal dish. Also, the halacha is that it could only be done in a way that the fire won't get extinguished. If you put it over the fire, that there won't be any oxygen and the fire will get extinguished, of course, it's asr. Moreover, we learned the Gemara early in our Masechta, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, that taught us, Ein kli nitl, ela tzarech davar nitl b'Shabbos, that you can't move something only on behalf of something that could be moved on Shabbos. And here the kaira and the fire can't be moved on Shabbos. So why is the halacha that you could put this dish over the candle? So the Gemara says that we're talking about a situation that you picked up the dish, you picked up the dish not to put it over the fire. And the halacha in Hilchos Muksa, as we learned then, is that once you pick something up, you're allowed to take it wherever you want. So indeed, if I had picked up the dish, something which is muksa, that may not be done on Shabbos. But here I picked up the dish for a different reason. And the halacha is that once I picked up the dish, I can move it to wherever I want. Similarly, val tzayr shel cotton, you could put this on top of the waist of a cotton, val akrav shel tishach on top of a scorpion, that it shouldn't bite you. Again, as we've said previously, we're not referring to a situation of sakonis nefashis. If it's sakonis nefashis, then of course everything may be done. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Masa Baal Fnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ba'Arev. There was a situation that came up to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the city of Arev. Vama, and he said that in a situation where the scorpion is now looking to bite the person, so it's not a situation of sakonis nefashis. If somebody does this, it's considered tzeda, and cheshana lemechatis, that is chayi v'chatis. Obviously, explained the Rishonim, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that holds that it's a Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. And since it's a Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, even though I'm not capturing the snake, the scorpion, because I want it to use it, I'm only, as Tosfos explains, or as Rashi explains, I'm only doing it in reaction to a given situation. Still, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, a Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Yechayiv. And in fact, Tosfos, early in Amasechta, Daf Tzadik Dal Amud Aleph, Divrei Maskil At, says that we've had so many times in Amasechta the Machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. He says the source for Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, the source for that Machloikus is actually our Mishnah. And Tosfos goes on to say that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon also agrees that Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Osam Adrabanan, but here he's being more lenient because it's a question of an akriv. So therefore, even though he normally agrees that Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Osam Adrabanan, here he's going to be more lenient. Now the question is, if Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is following the opinion of Yehuda, that he says Yechai by Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, so why does the Mishnah use the word Choshishani? It's a question. It shouldn't be a question. It should be obvious. So the Bi'ur Halacha explains in Siman Shin Tazayin, Divrei HaMaskil Nechoshim, that when we learned the Halachas of Tzeda, there were opinions that said that Tzeda is only by Minoy Nitzed, an animal that's normally captured. And the question here was, is this considered Minoy Nitzed? Because if it's not Minoy Nitzed, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not Seida Midaraisa. Says the Gemara of Riyudu, Rav Yimi, Rav Abba, Rav Chana, Bar Ava, Ikla Avin, the men Nishkaya. They came to the home, they came to the city of Nishkaya. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yimi, Rav Abba, to Rav Yehuda, Rav Yimi, Rav Abba, Isla Paraisa. They bought them beds to sit on. Rav Chana, Bar Rava, Loy Isolai. They didn't give him a bed to sit on, a couch to sit on. He sat on the ground. Ashkechei, so Rav Chanan met Ovin, Masnan LeBaroi, that was learning with his son, and he taught him that this is the way to understand Pshat in the Mishnah. A tzoyah shel katan, you're allowed to cover up the tzoyah of a katan with nea katan to avoid that the child should come in contact with the tzoyah and get dirty. Amalei, so Rav Chanan said to Ovin, he was obviously upset at him, because as Rashi explains, that he was upset that he didn't give him a bed, a couch to sit on, that he made him sit on the floor. And even though he maybe didn't have any more couches, Rav Chanan didn't recognize that. Rav Chanan has thought that he's treating him with disrespect. So therefore he said, Avin Shatya, Oven is a fool, Amasish Dusei L'Bnei, and that's why he's teaching his son foolishness. He Atzma Mechanis L'Klovim, the Tzoya was used for Klovim, and it's not Muksa. And since it's not Muksa, why do you have to bring anything to cover it? You could just pick it up and carry it to the garbage. V'chi Tema, and if you'll say the L'Chazim Asma, as when we learned Hilchas Muksa, we learned quite extensively that the definition of muksa is, or the opposite of muksa, is anything that was prepared from before Shabbos. And muksa means that it was set aside. And certainly, as we discussed, noilad, something that only came into creation on Shabbos, is the biggest muksa, because it could not have been prepared before Shabbos. And here, perhaps, we were talking about waste that wasn't here from before Shabbos. But Tanya, but ask the Gemara, when we learned the halacha is that on Shabbos one can't go out of a tchum, nor can anything that you own be taken out of your tchum. So the Braisa teaches us, Nahoris HaMoshchen, if you have rivers that are flowing, or Mayanis HaNoivim, or springs that are flowing, HaRegli Kol Adam, whatever you pick up from them has the same tchum as you do. I, they weren't here when you're picking up this water on Shabbos. So we see the fact that they were expected to come here makes them not be to avoid a problem of muksa. Here too, the fact that there's waste that's going to come on Shabbos, the halacha is that that's expected to come. And since it's expected to come, it doesn't become muksa. The big question that has to be asked is that the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Beya, that Beis Omer Aleph, teaches us that a chicken that had an egg on Shabbos is considered Beyish Nolda B'Yontif, is considered muksa. Why is it considered muksa? Because it only came into the world on Yontif. So all the Rishonim ask, our Gemara is teaching us that something that's expected to come is not muksa. So the chicken that has the egg on Yontif, chickens lay eggs. They typically lay eggs every day. So that should not be considered muksa. So the answer is, the Rishonim say maybe it's talking about a chicken that doesn't give an egg every day. But the best teretz that I saw is, what does the egg come from? The egg comes from the chicken. And the chicken itself is muksa. So the egg that comes from the chicken cannot be any less than its mother, which is muksa itself, says the Gemara. So Ella said, Ovin, Hechi Asni, what's the proper way of learning our Mishnah? So he says, Ema, the proper way of learning the Mishnah is Al Tzoyish Tanagoylim. We'll have to cover up the Tzoy of Tanagoylim, Mnei Kotten. Because the Tzoy of the Tanagoylim is indeed Muksa. Ask the Gemara, but typically, in Hilchas Muksa, there's a halacha, and the Tzoy of Tanagoylim was not used for Klovim. And since it's not used for Klovim, the halacha is that it's Muksa. But ask the Gemara, there's another halacha in Hilchas Muksa, and that's the halacha of Graf Shel Rei. The simplest definition, as the Rashi teaches us in Masechta Beya, the Flam of Avam Beis, the Vermaskel Taisi, of a Graf Shel Rei is a urinal. And a urinal, since it's Mos, Chazal allowed us to carry it on Shabbos. V'chi Tema, Graf Shel Rei agav mona in. When is there a halacha that you can carry out a Graf Shel Rei only when it's in a keli? E gufi, but the waste itself loy, says the Gemara. For who achbar the shtaka b'sfarku the Ravashi v'amlo nekubet tzutzusi, grab it by its tail v'afku, because it's a Graf Shel Rei. So again, why did you have to bring a keli to cover it up? You could be able to carry it directly. Answers the Gemara is talking about ba'ashba. When is there a halach? When is there a heter of Graf Shel Rei? The heter of Graf Shel Rei was only said when it's in your living quarters. So you don't want to have a mess, even though it's muksa in your living quarters. But here it's an ashba. Ask the Gemara if we're talking about an ashba, the cotton by ashba, my boyle. Why would a cotton be in the ashba? Answers the Gemara, by chotzer. This is in the chotzer, which is where cotton tanim are found. Ask the Gemara. So we're back to where we started. If this is in the chotzer, then the het of Graf Shel Rei applies. Chotzenami Graf Shel Rei Hu. And why do we have to bring the keli? We could be able to carry it out directly. Answers the Gemara, it's an ashba shebechotzer. So since it's an ashba, we don't have the heter of Graf Shel Rei. But since it's in the chotzer, we're concerned that the child may touch it, and therefore kaifa le keli. We learned further, Val Akrif, somebody could bring a kara, somebody could bring a thing to cover an Akrif Shloi Tishach. Amar B'Shem Malevi, Kol HaMazikin, anything that could harm a person on Shabbos, Narogim B'Shabbos. And as the Rishonim explained, Tosfos explains, that Rashi and Tosfos both explain, that even if it's not a situation of Bikuach Nefesh, if they could cause damage, then you could kill them. Why? Because we follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, as we discussed a few moments ago, that holds a Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is not Osra on Shabbos. And this is certainly a Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa in a situation of Hezek. Moser Rabbi Yosef, as Rabbi Yosef, the Brisa says, Chamisha Narogim B'Shabbos. The Brisa says that there are five different creatures that could be killed on Shabbos. Ve'elohein, what are they? Zvush Be'etz Mitzrayim, flies in Egypt, Tzirish Shebe'Nineveh, the wasp in Nineveh, Akrav Shebe'Chadayev, the scorpions in Chadayev, the Nochash Shebe'etz Yisrael, snakes in Etz Yisrael, the Kelv Shoyt B'Kol Mokin, and a wild dog anywhere. So makes Rabbi Yosef his point. Mani, who is the Tan of this Braisa? Ilayim Rabbi Yehuda. If we're going to say it's following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, and therefore, you should have no right to kill it. It's not Sakonis Nefoshes. Elav, it must be that's following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And what is the Braisa saying? For Hani Huda Shori, only these five creatures that were listed were allowed to kill on Shabbos. Achrin Eloi, Rabbi Yirmiyah, comments Rabbi Yirmiyah, Oman Neimel on the Hamat HaResdehi, who says that this Braisa is correct? Dilma Mishoresh Beshtehi. We know that Braises that were taught by Rav Chia and Rav Ashi are considered accurate. This Braisa was not taught by Rav Chia and Rav Ashi, and therefore we can't be sure that it's accurate. Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, Anomas Nisan Law, I learned this Braisa, the Sivna Law, and I have it as part of the collection of reliable Braises, the Sivna Law, I ask the question, and I will answer it. Here we're talking about the Ratzu Akrav, when these creatures are chasing after him, the Divrei Hakel. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if a creature is chasing a person, so it's a Shail Pikuach Nefesh. That's what's Mutter. The Braisa talks when it's not chasing after him, and it's following the opinion of Shimon, they could kill a creature only if it's one of those five enumerated in the Braisa, because if it's one of the five that are enumerated in the Braisa, that's when there's a real sakana. Tana Tana Kamed Rabba Barav Huna. Ha'hoirig Nechosh V'Akram B'Shabbos. If somebody kills snakes and scorpions on Shabbos, Ein Ruch Chassidim Noichem Emenu. Somebody who acts in a proper, really proper manner shouldn't do it, because you shouldn't kill on Shabbos. Killing is a malacha. Amalai. Rav Huna said, "Voice a chassidim. People who think that this is a chassidus ain't ruach hacham noichemenu." Chazal weren't happy with that person because the person left something dangerous out there. Opligid Rav Huna, and this opinion is, and Rav Huna's opinion is obviously different. Rav Huna chazia lahu garved the kakotel zibura. He saw somebody killing a bee on Shabbat. Shabbos, Amalei Shemtin al Kula. Did you finish killing all the bees? You're not anyway going to be able to kill all the bees, so there's no heter to do so. And again, as Rashi and Tosfos both point out, this is all in a situation which is not pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, we can do whatever we have to do. Now we can do, we should do. Tana Rabbanan, Nizdam lo nechosh v'akrabim. If somebody came in contact with a snake or a scorpion, Hagen, if he kills them, they were supposed to kill him, but Hashem helped him kill them instead. Loi Hargon, if he doesn't kill them and they don't harm him, they were supposed to harm him, but Nasloi Nes Meshmaim, and he had a nace that nothing happened to him. When is this said that we know that a nace happened to him? Where the snake was hissing. And if a snake was hissing, it's a raya that the snake, it's obvious that the snake was looking to harm him. And if nothing happened to him, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was watching him. And as I saw from Rav Tzadik in explaining this Gemara, that everything that happens to a person is not coincidental. And if somebody was in a situation of danger, and Baruch Hashem, he was able to come out of it safely, it's not a coincidence. And Kadosh Baruch Hu helped him that he should be able to come out. And I saw that's what he explains, is when we know when somebody says Birchas HaGoymel, the nusach is that we say HaGoymel L'Chayovim Tovus. What's pshat that we say HaGoymel L'Chayovim Tovus? So he explains that when a person has a nace, that's when you say Birchas HaGoymel, he needs to recognize that he was chayovim.
he was in a situation that he was supposed to be chayiv, that he was supposed to have something bad happen to him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at him and saved him. But you need to remember that if this happened to you, chayovim, you were chayiv, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Kahana. Pamachas nofel ech bebeis medrash. Sometime, there was a time when a snake fell down in the Beis Medrash. Vomen nifsi echad v'hargoy. And a nifsi, a Jew from the city of Nifsi, got up and killed it. Amar Rebbe, pogaboy kiyotzba. He was, somebody like the snake, killed it. Iboilu. What does that mean? Pogaboy kiyotzba, the shopper of it, doesn't mean that he did the right thing. Oiloi. It doesn't mean that he did not do the right thing. Toshma, the Rabbi Breid, Rav Chibar, Abba, Rav Zeir, Rav Yase, killed the Bey, Rav Yanai. Nofuk, Nilsba, Menayu. And the following question came up. Boy, my name is Rav Yanai. Ma'al lahar in the Choshim Akram b'Shabbos. May somebody kill snakes and scorpions on Shabbos. Omaloi, Tzira Nehayu. I kill wasps on Shabbos. Noshav, Akriv. So certainly snakes and scorpions, loy Koshkein. But says the Gemara, it isn't a compelling proof. Dilma, what it means is, lefitumai, he's walking and he steps on them. Dar Rabbi Yehuda, roik, if somebody's walking and there's saliva on the ground, he's allowed to step on it and he's not worried about the malacha mamarach. Vamar of Sheshis, nachashtar say lefitumai, if you're walking and you just kill a snake unintentionally, or Vamar of Ketinan, akvdar say lefitumai, all that is mutter because it was done unintentionally. And it's considered a Dovashen and Miskavin. And as we said, certainly in a situation where it's a Dovashen and Miskavin and there is some danger involved, we could be lenient. But it isn't right that we're allowed to expressly kill the snake or scorpion on Shabbos.